Welcome to this week's edition of the Global Venturing Review podcast, bringing you the biggest news of corporate, government, and university venturing. My name is Thierry Hillis, and I'm the editor of globalgovernmentventuring.com and globaluniversityventuring.com. And after we took a week off last week, we are back again. And what a week this has been. Cancer drug developer ADC Therapeutics has taken its total financing to $225 million with a $105 million private placement that included existing investor AstraZeneca. The Swiss company has two antibody drug conjugate-based treatments in clinical trials right now and expects to add two more by early 2017. Meanwhile, China's bicycle sharing sector may not necessarily reach the heights of its ride-hailing counterpart, but the relatively new sector looks set for a pitched battle regardless. Ovo raised $130 million in a Didi Huijing-backed round 2 weeks ago, and now Mobike has closed more than $100 million in funding from investors including Tencent. Mobike, which only launched in December, is targeting white-collar workers, whereas Ovo's core customers are students. So it will be interesting to see which group provides the strongest base for growth. Mitsui, meanwhile, has led a $100 million round for MatahariMall.com, a e-commerce platform launched by real estate conglomerate Lippo Group with $500 million in initial capital last year. Mitsui will take a 10% stake in the company through its investment, provided alongside undisclosed new and existing backers. It will also send e-commerce experts to join Matahari Mall's management team. Online wholesale alcohol retailer Yijiupi has also raised $100 million in a Series C round backed by local reviews and group buying platform Meituan Dianping, which will fuel an expansion drive the company hopes will more than double the 72 Chinese cities in which it operates by the end of next year. CVC unit Bertelsmann Asia Investments, which contributed to Series A and B rounds for the company, was not named as an investor in this round. GE Ventures, Envision Energy and Invan Capital have contributed to a round for energy storage and management technology provider Sonnen that has closed at $85 million. Sonnen is aiming to go public itself in the next 2 years, founder Christoph Ostermann told Bloomberg, and is currently developing products to add to its advanced battery energy sharing platform and grid scale solution. And then over on the university side, and actually also the corporate side, Oblong Industries, a gesture-based user interface spin-out of MIT's Media Lab, secured $65 million in funding on Wednesday from investors including UTIMCO, the investment arm of the University of Texas system. Industry Ventures, Greenspring Associates, Morgan Stanley, and Foundry Group also contributed cash to the round. Oblong Industries, which is also backed by GE Ventures, is developing Mezzanine, an immersive visual collaboration tool. The company is based on work undertaken by John Underkoffler. And then on the government end, Temasek, the sovereign wealth fund of Singapore, announced a $250 million investment in US-based healthcare conglomerate Columbia Pacific Management's Chinese subsidiary Columbia China. The investment gives Temasek a 50% stake in Columbia China and turns the subsidiary into a joint venture between the two partners. Columbia China operates healthcare facilities in large cities such as Shanghai and Beijing, aimed at middle-class users. The company's current portfolio includes an orthopedic hospital, two clinics, and, through its subsidiary Cascade Healthcare, three senior living facilities. Now, let's look at funds. Online media brands Thrillist, NowThis, The Dodo, and Seeker joined forces last week to form a new holding company called Group 9 Media, fueled by a $100 million investment by Discovery Communications. The deal can be seen as part of an ongoing process of consolidation in the online media sector, in which broadcasters are putting more money into the space as it moves further from text to video content. And GCV news editor Rob Levine took a closer look at that in last week's Big Deal piece, so do go take a look at that. French venture firm Daphne has launched a $165 million fund with backing from LPs such as Nokia, MAIF, and Fnac-Darty. The fund will enable any of the LPs to co-invest on deals and will typically provide up to $3.3 million at seed or Series A stage. And then, by far, the biggest fund that we've covered on this podcast, and probably the biggest fund ever, the SoftBank Vision Fund, a $100 billion vehicle brought to us by the Japanese conglomerate SoftBank and the government of Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is expected to provide, over the next 5 years, up to $45 billion through its Sovereign Wealth Fund Public Investment Fund, and SoftBank is expected to contribute $25 billion over that same period. The remaining $30 billion will come from large global investors, and one of these might be Qatar Investment Authority, who a few days after the fund was announced, said it is exploring a commitment to the fund. Let's look at exits. Now, the IPO market seems to be recovering. Companies from various sectors are looking to access the public market sooner rather than later, including Wi-Fi technology provider Quantenna Communications. Quantenna, which has raised more than $200 million in debt and equity since 2005 from investors such as NTT, Vivint, Swisscom, and Telefonica, has set the range for an offering that could raise up to $107 million. The company made a $1.9 million loss in the first 9 months of this year from $91 million in revenue. And Novo, St. Jude Medical, and Kaiser Permanente have also secured exits, as iRhythm Technologies, the Stanford University spin-out developing a wearable cardiac arrhythmia monitor, went public on Nasdaq in a $107 million initial public offering. The flotation was a success too, with iRhythm upping its shares and floating above its range. The company's share price had increased by more than 50% at the end of its first day of trading. Another IPO came from gene editing company CRISPR Therapeutics, which went public in a $56 million offering that was priced below its range, but which was executed concurrently to a $35 million investment by existing backer Bayer Global Investments. Switzerland-headquartered CRISPR raised about $200 million in VC funding from investors also including SR1, Celgene, and Vertex Pharmaceuticals. And then we have a big new player in the Asian travel services industry after Make My Trip acquired Ibido Group in an all-share deal that reportedly valued Ibido at $720 million. Ibido's owners, Naspers and Tencent, will collectively acquire a 40% stake in the merged company through the acquisition, while Chinese online travel company Ctrip will redeem the $180 million in convertible notes that it issued to Make My Trip earlier this year in return for a 10% stake. Salesforce has also scored a decent-sized exit after cloud services provider Aperio agreed to a $500 million acquisition by IT services firm Wipro. US-based Aperio had raised just over $110 million altogether, and Salesforce had participated in a Series A, B, and C. Aperio will continue to operate under its own brand, and Wipro will consolidate its Salesforce and Workday app services through the company. Investment manager and research provider Morningstar has agreed to acquire financial data platform PitchBook in a $180 million deal that will see it buy the remaining 80% of the company that it does not already own. Morningstar had invested $1.2 million in PitchBook in 2010, and followed that up with a $10 million in Series B funding in January, taking its stake up to 20% in the process. And then on global university venturing, Curtin University spin out EPAT Technologies, which is developing facial recognition technology, floated on the Australian Stock Exchange on Thursday. The company previously raised $3.6 million from exploration company MinQuest in April 2016, and conducted a backdoor listing. The full flotation last week provided an opportunity for Curtin University to sell its 16% stake in EPAT to a group of private investors. On global government venturing, meanwhile, general trading firm Mitsubishi Corporation purchased a 60% stake in Electroroute, an Ireland-based energy trading and services firm backed by government-owned export development agency Enterprise Ireland. Financial terms of that deal have not been disclosed, however. Electroroute's senior founding management team will remain with the company, which is currently active in Ireland, the UK, France, Spain, Italy, Germany, and the Netherlands. The investment by Mitsubishi will support further international expansion as the company prepares to open its first office outside of Ireland. And with that, we come to people. Dinesh Murjani has become Comcast Ventures' 9th managing director, joining the unit from Warburg Pincus. Murjani founded and headed Hatch Labs, the IAC incubator project that heralded Tinder, the dating app, and will lead data and business intelligence, marketplace and social network technology investments for Comcast Ventures from a Santa Monica base. In the university world, Bruce Zimmerman, chief executive of Utimco, has announced that he is stepping down from the position after nearly a decade of leading the investment company of the University of Texas System and Texas A&M System. Zimmerman was appointed CEO and chief investment manager back in 2007, and under his leadership, Utimco added more than $4.2 billion, an average of $475 million a year, for both systems in value. And Edinburgh Research and Innovation, the commercialization arm of Edinburgh University, has appointed George Baxter as its new chief executive effective today, that is October 24th. Baxter previously served as director of research and enterprise and director of business engagement and innovation services at Nottingham University. Previously also worked for Salford University, the Northwest Regional Development Agency and AstraZeneca Specialty Chemicals. Baxter's appointment actually comes as Edinburgh University aims to increase its engagement efforts with industry, building on its existing successes, and has reshaped ERI to offer a specialised service for businesses hoping to collaborate. And with that, you are all caught up again. Of course, as always, this isn't all the news from the past week. There is way too much to fit into a short podcast like this. So do head on to globalcorporateventuring.com, globalgovernmentventuring.com, and globaluniversityventuring.com to read the rest. And as always, if you have a spare minute, please do rate us on iTunes. Give us a few stars. It really helps us getting this podcast out to more people. My name is still Thierry Hillis. You have been listening to the Global Venturing Review podcast brought to you by Morsonia Limited. And I will speak to you again next week. Goodbye.
Global Venturing Review was produced by In Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.